Hallo, mein Name ist Hannah Kopfmann.
I'm Gavin Orchard.
I'm Hannah van der Westhuizen.
I'm Elliot Salt.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast!
What language were you speaking?
That was German.
A German.
Yeah. Because we are doing a German person today.
We are doing a German person today. Yes. Really, you should be doing it because you could do it all in German, right?
This is very true.
Yeah, fluent.
Yeah.
So for the lovely listeners out there, we have a very special guest today.
Yes.
Elliot, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yourselves?
All of myself. God, we'd be here a while.
Depends on the day.
Well, I did, didn't I? A bit ago. I'm Elliot.
Who are you? What's your favourite colour and where are you from?
I'm again me, Elliot.
Third
time's a charm. Okay. My favourite colour is green, let's say, because I'm just looking at Hannah's lamp. And
Which happens to be green.
Sorry for the listeners.
It would be weird if it's a green lamp. To be red.
Which happens to be yellow.
And I'm from Manchester.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got all the key info now.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
City or United?
United.
Yeah, it's divisive, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I can't say I care massively, but my family are all big.
Yeah,
big
you wouldn't say that sort of stuff in my household anyway, would you?
No, I would keep it very quiet.
Are you City?
Yeah, my whole family are diehard City fans.
I feel like I've had this conversation with your mum, though. Yeah. And I think we've come out of it all right.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. She still allows you to come around every now and then.
Yeah. I have to stand outside, but I can look through the window.
Exactly. I'm so glad that we finally got you on the podcast. It's been such a long time in the making.
I'm so glad. I'm genuinely a huge fan. I've listened to almost all of them, apart from the things that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah,
because we spoil. Lots of spoilers.
Yeah,
yeah. And you don't want to watch. You don't want to listen to the Succession one before you've watched Succession, which I have started. And boy, oh boy, good stuff.
Well, I'm going to start it this week at your recommendation, and also so that I can listen to the episode.
Oh yeah, yes. Actually, the main reason.
I mean, I am genuinely a fan because I was listening to it while we were in Dublin, as if I hadn't got enough of listening to your voice 24/7.
Spending Monday to Friday with me, going home and listening to me talk.
Yeah, so it's a real credit to the quality of the podcast because it didn't send me insane.
Good.
And we are also huge fans of yours.
Yeah, obviously. We are.
Oh my God, yes.
Thanks, guys.
You and all your brilliant work and your witty humour, and we're very excited to have someone more... Well, I'm very excited to have someone more eloquent than me on this podcast. Other than these two, obviously. Oh my God, these are great guys.
Can we just get a quick roll call of all the amazing things that you've been in very recently, Elliot? So you've been in Normal People, you've been in Winx, The Fate Saga, which our lovely Hannah is
Winx, The Fate Saga. Or as Anya Chalotra likes to call it, Twinks.
Twinks. You're in Twinks.
Yeah.
Game Face.
Yeah.
What else have we seen you in? What's it called? Intelligence.
Yeah.
Like, my knowledge and my trivia of Elliot Salt.
I love it.
That's about it. I mean, I did that...
Which is pretty bloody
I did a murder mystery thing as a nurse recently.
Oh, yes.
Ugly.
Oh,
yeah. Where I wore some very striking glasses.
Very striking.
And that did all the work for me. I didn't do any acting. I just wore the glasses.
Yeah.
And looked a bit sad, you know?
And you did that so well.
I did it so well. I had a lot of practice from Winx, The Fate Saga. where I wear a felt dress and look sad.
Which is, that was the character description.
Right? It was.
Are you wearing a felt dress?
I am in part of Winx, The Fate Saga season 1.
Holy
where
shit.
Can I find one?
Well.
That's very RS teacher.
It does come off that way. I'm not wearing it this season.
No.
Spoiler alert.
Do you have any exciting teasers or spoilers for season 2 that you want to give?
I don't think we're allowed. No, I think we'll get murdered.
I know, of course, we'll get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a little, like, you know, how's your experience?
Just do it for the podcast, Elliot.
Yeah.
Sell your soul.
Listen, it's shot now, whatever. What are you going to do?
Listen, it's done.
Kidding, please keep hiring me. It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
We had a lovely time. I feel like the characters have all developed a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tara's changed quite a lot this season, which is really fun to play.
Mm.
And she's a bit less, because she's got more confident and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still do my general clown acting, but it's it's interspersed with some like kick-ass moments as well, which is
in a big way. Yeah. I mean, like, you really, I think Terra is one of my, well, always has been one of my favourite characters, but I think in this series in particular, like, your storyline is so delightful. The journey is so good and it's really exciting, and it definitely leaves you in a place where you're like, can't wait to what happens if we get a third season.
It was quite emotional to do.
It was very emotional. We got genuinely emotional in a lot of your scenes.
Yeah, we did. The scene, I feel like we're probably thinking of the same
one.
There's a scene where we were both quite emotional doing
it. Yeah, very emotional.
Oh my God. I cannot wait.
There's a good bit of foot acting in that scene as well.
Oh yeah, oh there is, and I hope they use it.
Oh, Brian told me that he's using it.
Oh, really?
A naked foot?
No.
No, it's not one for the wiki feet.
I was going to say, I actually got my first Instagram foot fan recently.
Really?
Instagram foot fan?
Yeah. Honoured, obviously.
Honestly, you and people being into your feet is
it's a running level. Theme of your life.
Is it?
It's
I didn't know that about
you. You need to get in contact with Quentin Tarantino because clearly you've got... Because he has a foot fetish.
Oh, message him.
If you watch any of his films, there's always a shot of his actress's bare feet.
Oh, Christ alive.
So
I do actually bring up feet because I do actually want to know, do you guys have wiki feet pages?
Oh.
I've never looked, but I almost definitely don't because my feet wouldn't be out.
Mm. I obviously have looked because as soon as I found out that was a thing, I was thrilled.
And do you?
Yeah, of course I do, baby.
What is your score? I decided at all.
I will say that it looks like a 4.5, but it's just dipping behind, like below the half of the 4.
Out of 5 or 10?
Out of 5. Okay. Out of 5, yeah, not out of 10. That would be really sad.
Oh, so it's like a 3-point...
But what I will say, guys, is people who liked Hannah van der Vesthuizen's feet also liked Jessica Biel's feet.
Okay.
Gosh. Katy Perry's feet and Gal Gadot's feet.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, hot.
Yeah, a great company to be in.
Great. Jessica Biel, go on, pop off.
Gal Gadot, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Gal.
So wait, is your wiki feet rating higher or lower than your Uber rating?
Oh, definitely higher.
And which would you prefer to have a higher rating on?
Wiki feet? Yes. I've got to walk around those puppies.
I'm not in for the rest of my life.
Hanako Footman feet. You know, that's like always the second thing that...
Hanako Footman, 13 picks. I only have 3.
Oh my God!
You have 13 and you have 4.5, quote, beautiful feet.
Wow!
Oh my
Have
goodness.
You been posting them yourself?
Oh my God, I'm thrilled!
I took the first one and the second one I'm in.
Oh my God!
One is just a photo of your feet that you've taken of your own... There's so many photos that you've taken of your own feet. You'd be making a fortune.
What the fuck? I need to see these pictures.
It's because my surname's Footman. It's in the name, guys.
Yeah, what's in the name? Your feet.
The feet.
Apparently. So I have to ask, you got any big NY resolutions, yeah? So that we can hold you to them when you come back to do Fate the Wing Saga Season 3 and ask you if you've actually stuck to any of them.
And I'll be a visible shell. Yeah. You'll be like, you've not improved yourself one scrap.
No.
No, I don't actually. I'm not sure I'm totally into them as a thing. I feel like I want to start the new year being like, I'm all right.
Yeah,
rather than being like, sort yourself out. And if you haven't done it by February, then you're a loser. Do you know what I mean?
Which is
maybe just the way that I talk to myself, which I'm trying to overcome.
Look, we all go to therapy for something.
Exactly.
That feels like a low-level fair things goes therapy for.
I'm too competitive about stuff, and I think I would...
Too much pressure.
Yeah, I would buckle under the pressure, I think.
That's a good answer.
Okay.
Mine is to function on a hangover. I feel like I've already shared this, at least with you, Elliot.
But what?
Diet or rely on alcohol? So
no, because I can't function on a hangover. I find it so hard. I really cease to have the will to live.
Wait,
but
you're,
you know, you're only getting older, Hannah, and it's only going to get worse.
I know, but that's why I've got to turn it around now. And if it's not done by February, then fucking come on.
Yeah, you see, this is exactly the kind of talk that I'm trying to avoid.
Right?
That it's like, if I haven't done this by February, I guess I'm just old and over.
Yeah.
That's fair. This feels like an impossible task. Hangovers are famously dreadful.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't function on them, do you, Kath? Well, no, you don't drink.
Because of hangovers.
There's your answer.
I'm actually all right.
You're incredible at functioning on a hangover.
Hannah, thanks.
I don't know how you do it.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a superpower.
I mean, I'm not amazing. I just can function.
You're built of sturdy stuff, that's why.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm just a hardy guy.
Yeah, you're just an elite human.
Yeah, and I do say that a lot.
Yeah, famously. Yeah. Elliot Salt Instagram bio.
That should have been your
intro. Oh my god, it kind of should be. Maybe I'll change
maybe
it.
You should.
That's my New Year's resolution.
Tell more people that I'm an elite human.
Let the people know.
Yeah. Give them the truth.
Speaking of elite humans,
I was going to do that one as well.
Oh, it's a good one.
Who are we covering on this week's episode?
Yes. I think we've all brought people to this podcast that or shows that we love and that are really sort of big pop culture moments for us, like the definitive sort of pop culture moment. And I feel like I've discussed with you, because there's a podcast that you listen to called Las Culturistas, mm-hmm. and they
big
discuss...
Kath listens to it as well, I believe, yeah.
And on that, they ask, like, what's your defining pop culture moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and didn't you say that old Hollywood, or have I made that up?
Yeah, no, it probably is. Yeah. Like, definitely watching, like, old, like, I don't know, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, or any Judy Garland films, or anything in the, like, probably 30s to 50s with my mum growing up would be a big... big one for me.
Yeah.
And this person falls into that category. Although I have to say, I've seen bits of her films. I don't think I've seen any of her films. She's quite early for me.
But she falls into the category for sure.
We're doing a focus on Marlene Dietrich.
Woo!
But sort of more generally speaking about like something called The Sewing Circle.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
Just something that's very associated with her at the time.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I do feel like as well, that's, you know, why she's such a massive pop culture sort of moment for you, for me, for everyone, mm-hmm. Because albeit that she has her flaws, as does everyone.
For sure.
I would say like the black and white films, but bloody hell, like everyone in history, even including like 10 days ago, like everyone's got like so many skeletons in their closet, and she is definitely...
Oh yeah, it's worth saying we're absolutely not endorsing Marlena as a human.
No.
seems like she's pretty dreadful.
But she's also like a big queer icon for... Which film was it that she had her moment in?
Which we'll come to. Morocco is the one that I feel like people will have seen.
Yeah, and she's most famously...
The big queer moment.
Well, should we dive in?
Yeah.
Please do, because I know just absolutely nothing about
this. Yeah, fill us in. Ever heard of Miss Marlena?
Yes. The name? Nothing else.
I guess through fashion and film, and then later on, because she is a queer icon, as we are about to discuss, mm-hmm. She was bisexual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how could you forget a face like that? I mean, she's just so extraordinarily beautiful.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Drop dead.
And
gorgeous.
That suit, right? And the top hat.
Yeah,
the top hat, baby.
That's from Morocco. I'm pretty sure it was an outfit repeat from her, for sure.
Yeah, oh, in a big way. I think if you Google, like, her, the first outfits that she appears in, like, all of the photos seem to be her in suits.
Mm.
Which we love to see.
We do love to see. So she's born in 1901 in Berlin, as we've established, famously a German lady. She had like quite fancy middle class vibes growing up. She was like very educated in languages and music. She got involved in the mandolin because...
Oh, we love.
Why not?
As an instrument.
Yeah.
Wow. What does a mandolin look like? A tiny guitar?
Circular, guitar-y sort of thing.
Okay, lovely.
It gives me sort of medieval energy, but I don't know if that's accurate. Yeah, so she wanted to be a violinist growing up, but then she got a wrist injury as a child and wasn't...
I swear that always happens.
Mm.
Really?
I've never had a wrist injury.
Too much wanking.
I was going to say, like, it. Given what we're about to discuss about her, like, it clearly didn't hold her back
it
entirely.
It did not stop her in
She played other fiddles.
So she turned to acting as a backup, which...
We
hate that. It's
how cruel.
It's not ideal.
It's giving Florence Pugh.
It is. It's giving Florence Pugh. Who, listen, we love, but
of course you do.
But it's annoying that she stumbled into it, and I think we can all agree.
Yeah. How dare you trip and fall into basically being Oscar nominated?
Exactly.
How dare you?
So
every time I trip and fall, it's always into the gutter. Yeah. Let it be known, it's never anywhere else. Not into the lap of Oscar, but never Oscar, for fuck's sake. Anyway, we move.
But, you know, to be fair, she also auditioned for drama school and didn't get in.
Yes.
You know, so we'd love to have her humbled.
Yeah. hashtag humbled, hashtag grateful.
And to get through it, she, like, started taking up boxing, which I only note because that was, like, quite unusual to do as a woman at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she, worked with this Turkish trainer and got well into boxing. love for her.
Absolutely brilliant.
She's giving us queer energy from the beginning.
Yes. Sorry. Don't try and convince me you're straight, but even doing boxing, getting that into it.
Absolutely. And breaking your wrist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't say which order that happened in, actually. So she started doing film work in Germany, met her husband, Rudolf Seiber. Am I pronouncing that right?
I feel like you've given it a good go.
I've given it a good go, and I've said it with my chest.
Yeah.
You know what?
I believe you.
DM me if I'm wrong, and yeah. I won't reply.
But I will feel really anxious and bad about it.
I will feel bad, and I will take the knowledge humbly. Yeah, so they met in 1923 and they had a daughter, and despite her having more affairs than I genuinely don't understand how anyone has time to have this many affairs and be a working actor.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm working, I don't have time to do anything else.
No.
And yet she is getting around and we stan.
And also we stan it because, like, no Hinge, no Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be finding it
in the bar every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's putting such hard work in.
Tell you what, she's functioning on a hangover.
Oh, yeah.
This is true.
She absolutely must be.
Yeah.
But then she, you know, she was in good company because she was pals with, like, friend of the pod, Tallulah Bankhead.
Yeah.
So.
Who didn't drink but did do a lot of cocaine, so, you know.
Exactly. Oh, so they're drank. Good at pals. Yeah, I feel like that resolution lasted for quite a short time with her, right? Yeah. Yeah, so, but anyway, despite her having all of those affairs, they stayed married until his death in 1976.
Wow.
Having met in 1923, so like...
In the 70s.
Over 50 years, they had their diamond, would that be your anniversary, whatever?
I'm not fluent in anniversaries. No. Don't know them well.
Well, you know what? I know it's a big one. The big fiver.
Yeah, the fiver is a big
half a decade.
They did well. I mean, he also lived with another woman for like a few decades of that, I feel. So they were, you know...
You know what? I love that energy.
But we love that.
Yeah. They couldn't be bothered to get a divorce, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. Just a piece of paper.
And, you know, I don't know whether they were pals. I feel like there's not much reported animosity that I have come across.
No.
So they just made it work, and we love that for them.
Yeah, that's lovely.
She wasn't exactly living a, what's the word that I'm looking for? Mainstream life anyway. Mm, so, you know, for her to be making these decisions, it's very on brand.
And I would say she was bucking the trend, but I think the more I read about alleged goings on of like her contemporaries at the time, it seems like it's quite a standard vibe.
Yeah,
there were a lot of lavender marriages going on, which I love as a phrase.
That's a great phrase.
Tell us more.
So it's the term for when basically two gay people of the opposite sex marry each other. So it would often be set up by studio bosses. So it'd be like, oh no, everyone's gonna find out that like Tyrone Power is gay. As if the name wasn't a clue. So we better quickly get in with this random woman who often also was queer.
Yeah.
So they call that lavender marriages, which I love.
Stunning. What a beautiful smell.
Gorgeous. Be a great
lavender
cocktail.
Yes.
A lavender marriage, if it isn't already a thing.
Oh my gosh, we'll have a
maybe we should whip some up after this
yeah.
party.
Yeah, yeah, I think we need to have a cocktail party.
Lavender marriage.
Yeah. Perfect. Done.
Done. So yeah, so that's sort of her general background, and then she makes it to Hollywood because she gets directed by a guy called Joseph von Sternberg, who was like they made loads and loads of films.
They
together.
Made loads. They are the two people who worked together the most and created the most films of all time. Is that right?
I think so. Definitely up to a point. I don't know if it's been surpassed recently.
I think it hasn't been like as in an actor and a director. I think they hold the record
because
there was another two from the same period
or a little bit after. I want to say was it Catherine Hepburn or somebody?
Yeah, it was, and I can't remember who now, but they came close, but it was still like actually quite a way off.
Yeah, like, yeah, they were into it.
They were into each other.
And luckily for Marlena, he was already kind of in with the Hollywood crowd.
Yeah,
and was doing well in Hollywood, so he took her over to Hollywood with him, and that's where she established herself.
What kind of time are we talking?
So
1930
was their first US film
they
made together. Called Morocco, and that's the one that there's lots of clips on. So she plays a cabaret singer. She dresses in full male white tie and does a little song and just kisses a woman as part of it.
Great.
Just in 1930.
Just a cheeky... It's a tipping the velvet moment, isn't
it? It is a big tipping the velvet moment. I'm so sure Sarah Waters was thinking a little bit of Marlena Dietrich there.
Of course.
It's not quite the same period, but she's in your head.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
which, yeah, is amazing. And she also got a cheeky Oscar nom for it.
Oh, what a brag.
Yeah.
Her only Oscar nom, loser, but...
fucking win it, did she?
No, but yeah. Here we are, you've won that Oscar.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever, Marlena. But yeah, she smashed it, which is pretty cool.
And was this an English-speaking movie?
Yeah, so this was the first Hollywood film that she was in, which is so impressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
So wait, so this is slightly off topic, but I think it's interesting. So
it's very interesting.
So the reason that she was able to do like a queer kiss on screen, not that it was obviously part of the plot or anything, but before 1934, there weren't loads of rules in Hollywood about what you could show on screen and what you couldn't. I mean, within reason.
Yeah.
But there's quite a lot of stuff in the 20s and 30s where like women and men are kissing and stuff, and not ever sort of as part of like, they never had the full rom-com, we're not talking single all the way, but like it was part of it, even if it was done in a kind of friendship way or as a very rarely as a gag, but like sometimes. But that got banned, so you couldn't do that from 1934 because something came in called the Hays Code, which was an industry self-imposed set of rules.
Moral code
for like what you could do.
Do you guys remember in the Tallulah Bankhead episode when Hayes blacklisted Tallulah Bankhead?
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
Same fucking thing.
Bloke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bad bloke. Boring bloke.
Yeah, like was one of, and Hayes, was one of, there was like a few different societies set up around this time that were like to stop sort of untoward behavior. There's one there's one society that I can't remember that weirdly Barbara Stanwyck was an early member of. We'll get to her later, because she's part of the sewing circle, who we'll arrive at, allegedly. You have to say allegedly about all these things because they're not provable, but then they'll be like, and then she lived with a woman for 30 years, but we don't know. And you're like, okay, we know.
Sounds sus. Sounds fruity to me.
Anyway, so the Hays Code comes in at that time so that everybody can be teaching America how to be moral and sexual and all of the things that we love so much.
Yeah, huge fan.
And it was like things like if you had a man and a woman in a bedroom together, or I think probably just two people, everyone had to have one foot on the floor at all times. So that was like one of the rules.
In the bed, having a snog with one foot on the floor.
Yeah, if you were sitting, you had to have feet on the floor. And they and you'll notice like in films of that period, generally even married couples, they'd have like twin beds.
Twin beds, yeah.
Yeah. Which might have been a cultural thing at the time, I don't know, but I feel like it's gotta be a Hays Code thing.
I think it must be because also famously at that time it was also like you should be procreating with your partner.
Right.
Like, that was also the vibe. So I don't think twin beds were...
So if there was a scene in a movie where a husband and wife were in bed, they each had to have a foot on the floor.
You wouldn't have had a scene where they were in bed together. They'd have
what
to be like...
What if they're in twin beds?
I think that's allowed.
That's probably like sitting on two opposite sofas, isn't it? Like...
And it's okay if your feet are off the floor.
I don't know. I haven't.
This is bonkers.
But there's definitely a rule. I didn't research this recently. This is something my mum told me a long time ago, so it might need to be fact checked. But I feel like there's something about having to have one foot on the floor so that it's not sexy.
It's a really, really horrible game of Twister. It's just awful.
But yeah, so it's literally rules that detailed. And that was there all the way until 1968, which I think is really interesting because it blends in with your James Bond episode. Because, and there's quite an interesting interview with, I think, Katharine Hepburn talking about this, about how the Hays Code was obviously, like, mental, right?
Yeah.
And not ideal for anything really, other than actually women in that period had really good parts, so like people like Katharine Hepburn were always playing judges and lawyers and like advertising men, and like there were like His Girl Friday was made during that period, I'm pretty sure.
Such a good movie.
And women had pretty good parts, and people like Melania Dietrich and Greta Garbo were able to play like these amazing parts before the Hays Code because there were no rules at all,
right?
And also because in early Hollywood there were there was a lot more female input, so especially very early, because men hadn't really like found out that you could make loads of money about it.
This is one of my favorite. When you told me this the other day, I was like, my mind was blown by this.
Yeah, and again, this is I'm getting this conversationally, so I haven't got the facts exactly correct on this, but
famously,
I'm
famously this podcast.
Yeah,
through and through.
But I am, the general vibe that I've heard is that when Hollywood began, obviously there's always men kicking about, we can't get rid of them, but there were a lot of women who had really major roles to begin with, and they were able to have creative control over lots of projects.
It was hyper female dominated, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is why you get all of these amazing screen icons like Louise Brooks from the silent era. And so they were able to do all this stuff. And then after the Wall Street crash, men were suddenly like, oh, we need to find another way to make money. And they all like flocked to Hollywood. And so women who had had creative roles were sort of edged out.
Yeah.
So the women obviously still do and did at the time still worked in Hollywood loads, but they were pushed into technical roles. So they would do things like makeup and hair and costume, but also weirdly editing. So there were loads and loads of female editors.
Still a thing.
Yeah, because, because it was considered a technical rather than a creative role at the time, which has now changed, I think.
Because of the...
But because of the way that they used to do it was that with old film, you'd literally be cutting and sewing stuff together, which they considered to be like a very gals thing to do.
God, it was so interesting.
Yeah. So then there's like a dip during the Hays Code and during post-Wall Street crash where women like... a high point where even though all of this has happened and there's loads of men, the men still aren't allowed to over-sexualize them because they've got to have one foot on the floor. So they all get jobs and motives and things that aren't to do with sex. And then... post 1968, you notice like a real change in the way that women portrayed.
You get James Bond, baby.
Allowed to get the tits out and stuff.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. Because that is a thing, it just suddenly happens. And you kind of watch, I mean, especially Katharine Hepburn, you kind of, she's so someone that you can just like watch her career and just think, it just feels like we went so far back from some of those films and some of those roles that you see her like, meeting these leading men and you know being the leading woman of the film and like this utter icon, and then you just have this point, which is what was so interesting about Bond, where like one line, barely even got a line,
one line, then shot with your tits
out. Accessories.
Because I guess even people like Marilyn Monroe, where you think about like that's a very sexual persona, but she had lots of lines.
Yeah,
she still had like really complicated plots, and
she was funny as hell.
Yeah, really funny, and because you couldn't reduce her to being purely sexual. Yeah.
It's incredibly sad as well that like with the Wall Street crash era, when like Hollywood and TV and everything. Well, when film became massive because everyone wanted escapism, it was such an opportunity for women to really thrive. And instead it became a period for men to make more money by dominating women. It's such a shame. And I'm so glad that things are changing and people are like, oh, this is a female-dominated industry now, become like a space where you can earn money, for example, like wellness or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really hope that there is more people being like, have your space. This is your space and your time to earn money. Is that maybe thanks to social media that you can't get away with stuff as much now? Probably, but I wonder if we'd had Instagram when the Wall Street crash happened, people would have let everything be so dominated.
But then we say that, I feel like all of those, even those wellness companies that are female-led, they're still not as big as the probably handful of conglomerates that actually own everything, and they're all male-owned.
But I mean, if everything was to collapse, I wonder how...
Yeah.
It's a shame that it's... Although some industries, like some sectors of the film departments have remained exclusively pretty much female.
Yeah, well, I always think that on set about how there is still such gender divide and how people talk about like makeup and hair on set, and how so often it's very dismissive. Like,
oh, hugely.
I worked with someone with a first once who... to Brittany was like, now time for makeup to flounce in. It was like something like, it was some kind of really gender term that was like, oh, why don't you just let them do their job?
Yeah.
And stop,
hugely.
Stop making it seem like it's, there's often a vibe where it's like, oh, tut, or like eye roll, so it's superfluous. Yeah. And I kind of just don't think that would be the case if it was another male-dominated sector.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
And the time pressure that they all feel, which doesn't cross into other positions, really. It's like last minute. And balls to the wall. It's
but it's just as integral, I would say, as like lighting. Like,
can you imagine them saying that? Like, oh, time for lighting to flounce in.
Yeah,
exactly.
It would never happen.
And it's so skilled as well.
You've got to be
so trained and so good to be able to do that well, particularly under all of the sexist pressure.
Oh, hugely. Yeah, it's literally a case of if you've not put in the hours, you'll be absolutely dreadful at it. There's no, like, the reliance upon natural skill as, you know, I think there are some sectors where that can happen, or luck or nepotism, that just will not fly. You will be outed if you are not good at your job in those fields.
So. And also, they're first in, first out.
Yeah.
It works such, intense hours.
First in, last out,
We knew what you meant.
So Marlena, she was absolutely smashing it in Hollywood, but then she had a massive decline, and it really, at the end of the 30s, she started to get to referred to as box office poison.
Wow. Oh no.
Yeah. Which is less than ideal.
It's less than ideal, but it does seem to be a phase that like everybody seems to go through. It comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Why? Just because she just made a succession of
bad films.
I don't think it was necessarily that. I think she always just fell out of fashion. I don't even think that those films were like absolutely dreadful. Maybe what she was doing was just out of fashion. Like,
at this point, she had her back molars removed to give her that incredible cheekbone definition.
I did not come across this fact.
I did not know about that fact.
Yeah, she had her back molars removed. It was quite fashionable at the time, so that you get that really chiseled look.
Oh, wow.
So before, if you look at before and after photos of Marlena Dietrich, same with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, wow.
They were all getting plastic surgery. This is not a new thing. And
Hollywood in general.
Her plastic surgery as she gets older is very jokes.
Oh, my
because
God.
She was basically held together by tape for the last 15 years.
Yeah, in a big way.
Like, and you can sort of tell, like, because tape. She's got these like amazing wigs, but you can literally see that somebody has taped her face back.
Yeah. And it's like a Bella Hadid facelift.
Yeah, but
the ponytail.
But it really was genuinely done with tape. So
wow.
Yeah. So wild. So obviously, naturally, we segue into the time period of, you might have heard of it. It was like a world war. It was quite a big thing.
I wish people would make more films about it.
Yeah, right. I feel like before Marlena, I'd never heard of it. It's so weird. So wild. Rabbit hole. Anyway, but this is one of I think this is some of my favourite stuff about her. When the Nazi Party asked her to perform in propaganda films, she turned them down with a massive quote unquote. Nine.
Well, nine. This is her tale anyway.
Yeah. This is her tale. Yeah. How accurate do you think it is?
I would say, given some of her later comments, maybe not totally accurate, but she did turn them down.
But she's like, for example, like on Wikipedia, because look, we all know that I am a huge fan of Wikipedia. Wikifeet and Wikipedia are my two favourite sites. But like on that, like she is heralded as being really anti-Nazi. Like she's got a bunch of awards for it. She's so like...
Oh yeah, she's awarded in like France, Belgium, Israel, like loads of...
Everywhere.
US.
Yeah. Israel, she was like... Wasn't she awarded citizenship in Israel?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I think it was Israel that she was awarded citizenship because of all the work that she did that was anti-Nazi party, which then, very ironic, given... her being a massive racist afterwards. But you know, she did say no to the Nazis.
That is the definition of the bar being low though, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. The bar is in hell. And she also
that's not fair. That is a really big deal to do. And she renounced her German citizenship.
Yeah, which is
that's a big deal.
It is big.
I mean, you don't fuck with the Nazis.
Absolutely.
No.
And of course that will have meant leaving behind like lots of her family and friends, I presume. Like,
and she made...
I don't want to diminish it entirely.
Yeah, and I'm sure they were very divided as well.
Mm. For sure. And she co-created a fund to help Jewish people and other people escape to the US, other persecuted people.
Wow.
And she did a bunch of things in the war effort. Like, I'm sure she did loads of propaganda for the US as well.
She did. She did films and she also toured around selling war bonds. And
Millions,
yeah.
Which is so... Like, she's such a shiny person. You can so imagine her doing that... what's it called? Casanova-esque lottery selling spiel where you're just like, I'll buy anything from you.
Mm. And you know, her and Josephine Baker didn't get on at all.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because she was a huge racist.
Yeah.
That must be why.
Yeah. This is the thing. It's that I'm like, all of this stuff that she did is amazing, but I do feel it is slightly, I mean, it's more than slightly dampened by her.
It's very dampened. It's wet. It's sort of.
Comments against actually Jewish people as well as black people. She is not.
Not great.
Not great. Not a great gal later in life, for sure. But lovely that she did this. And let's not deny it. Yes. You know?
This is true. We have sort of come to towards the end of her life, though. I think what was the last film that she did? Was the last film that she did with David Bowie?
Yeah, it was one of the last ones. I just love this crossover.
This is so good.
Of like queer icons. So she did, and it's deranged just as a tale. So right. So in the late 70s, she didn't really act much, but she did this film, which David Bowie was in, and it was called Just a Gigolo. And
what?
My favourite song.
Part of that, which she sings in the film.
No.
Yeah, was she?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I cannot believe I haven't seen this.
Sings in the loosest possible
term. Yeah. She loses.
But he works in a brothel for her, and she's like the madam of this brothel.
Oh wow.
It did not do well, but listen. God.
Box office
this
poison.
Sounds incredible.
It sounds incredible.
It's so good.
It's Falls. Just Falls very funny time. that occurred. And yeah, well, before we get to the very end of her life, it is worth saying, because we did talk about it earlier, of like,
yeah.
So her daughter, Maria, wrote a book that was very Mommy Dearest-esque,
yeah.
Like the book that Joan Crawford wrote, for anybody who, Joan Crawford's daughter wrote, for anybody who doesn't know that, that basically was just like, my mum is awful. Mm-hmm. And I think some of Maria's perspectives seem like super problematic, so that is worth saying as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, was not favourable about her, and did include stuff like she wouldn't let Marlena allegedly wouldn't let black nurses treat her in hospital and stuff. So like, was super racist and said some fairly not great things about other groups as well, which I won't say because nobody needs to hear it. But yeah, so as much as it's worth celebrating those achievements, I think it's really important to also mention that, because I'm not trying to pretend like she's some icon that we should all be looking up to when she did things like that.
Oh gosh, no, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it also explains like so much of her which we're about to come to, but like she's got loads of problems with loads of other women in Hollywood.
Yeah,
where you're like, of course you do, because you're racist and probably sexist. And it's interesting as well, being so openly queer, that's something obviously I'm sure she's faced a bunch of prejudice for, and yet that not translating into other like minorities, or her being able to translate that into having empathy or understanding.
Well, I think it's part of this, it feels like a very self-promotional thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, there's a kind of Hollywood culture, I guess, of being like, if you're going to be a star, it's all about how I promote my image to make me get to this point.
You've got to be like, a bit gay and on drugs.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like those are the things those are the hills she's going to die on, because they're her hills.
So, why aren't we Hollywood famous yet? I don't understand.
I mean, I'm talking about Hollywood at the time.
I obviously
have no knowledge of current Hollywood at all, and wouldn't like to cast aspersions on anyone.
Allegedly. This quote that you put at the end, because she died at the age of 90, which is impressive.
Bloody hell.
Yeah,
and I bet she was a chain smoker.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure.
But one of the this is towards the end of her life that she said this.
Must have been.
She said, "Careful grooming may take 20 years off a woman's age, but you can't fool a flight of stairs."
Wait, what? I maybe it's because you didn't do it in a German accent.
Okay. Sorry, apologies.
You need to do it in a German accent.
I'm not. You can.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Okay. Oh God, I cannot see. Oh, hello. Okay. No, hello. Careful grooming may take 20 years off a woman's age, but you can't feel. But you can't fool a flight of stairs.
You sound like the pigs in Shrek.
Yeah, you do.
But you can't fool a flight of stairs, guys.
Yeah, like listen, so you can make yourself look nice, but if you need help with a flight of stairs, everyone's going to know you're pretty old.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it actually in the German accent.
Did you?
Yeah, that was what made the difference for me.
Again, not her most inclusive statement, for sure.
No.
But kind of funny. I feel like we probably said it too much, and now I'm really going into it. It's a bad thing to say, but whatever. She had some wit.
Now we are going to have to discuss something that you have brought up before.
Oh, okay. Yes.
In the Tallulah episode.
Yes.
We need to delve into the sewing circle.
Oh, we love the sewing circle.
This is what
I've become obsessed with, the sewing circle.
So, renowned for attending underground drag balls in the 1920s in Berlin, later in life, Marlena would use the phrase the sewing circle to refer to closeted lesbians and bisexual scene in Hollywood, of which she was obviously a member. So she was rumoured to have had affairs with, amongst many others, Edith Piaf, Greta Garbo, who...
Oh, there's a whole tale there. We'll get to that.
Come to Mercedes de Acosta, Claudette Colbert, and Barbara Stanwyck. Barbara Stanwyck.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the sewing circle...
So not everybody was an actor. Most of those people are actors. Mercedes de Acosta was a writer. But there was also Jack Warner, who was like running Warner Studios at the time. His wife was apparently in it as well.
Love.
So there's many people from many aspects of Hollywood are all kind of getting involved in this thing.
So they just did lots of sewing.
Yeah, they were just really, really good at embroidery. Yeah,
they were so lovely.
Yeah. The embroidered vaginas that you get on Etsy nowadays. Yeah, on Etsy.
5 for £15 off Etsy.
No, guys, they were all gays.
Big old gayers.
But yeah,
honestly, good for you.
Really good for you. Yes, yeah, so this is really, again, slightly deranged quote that I found from a book called, by Diana McClellan, who wrote a book called The Girls, Sappho Goes to Hollywood in 2000, which seems to be just like, there's a few books like this which are just like super trashy, like gossip column-y.
Oh, I love that,
biographies of like all of these women at the time and like, allegedly, but also like, we love to hear it.
Yeah, we do.
And she writes, lesbian affairs, it was widely felt, were good for you. They expanded your emotional range, nurtured your amour propre, and kept your skin clear and your eyes bright, burnishing your acting skills.
So good.
Oh my God, healthy. Facts.
Yeah, I get that tattooed, to be honest.
And also in this book.
Also in this book. Oh, yeah, is that, so, friend of the pod, Tallulah, which I can't remember if you mentioned this, but she wasn't actually allowed in the sewing circle.
Oh my God, I didn't know this.
So she wasn't an official member, allegedly, because she was pursuing Garbo too relentlessly.
Do you not remember this? You did say this on the pod. I remember it.
Did I?
Yeah. I think I might have just told you this before.
Oh, really? Because I did know this before, that she was just not allowed because she was just going after it too much, tooth and nail.
Oh my God. To be fair,
so her.
How can you deny Garbo?
Exactly. Yeah, so Marlena wasn't into it, didn't let her in the crew.
Oh my God.
Too good.
She's rampant. Quick question about the sewing circle.
Mm-hmm.
What went down? I mean, other than the obvious. Were they just all shagging each other or...?
Well, a lot of them seemed to, but I feel like it's more that it was a network. So it wasn't necessarily like, you know, every Thursday we all meet and shag. I think it was a queer friendship group, I guess.
Okay,
or at least a series of connections. I've actually found, which I feel like... Hopefully you can put on the gram without any copyright issue. But I found like a chart, you know, like in the L Word, where they've got the chart of
who.
There's a...
Here you go.
There's an old Hollywood edition that Autostraddle made that has who shagged who, and it's colour coordinated. It's very, very pleasing.
It's
allegedly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The alleged shaggers.
Yeah. Look at it all.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And we know Tallulah has...
Oh, Tallulah is on
Tallulah's
there.
Like the Tallulah's biggest circle.
The entire circle that goes around all of those.
Yeah, the biggest circles are Tallulah, Marlena, Greta, Garbo, and this writer, Mercedes D'Acosta, who I really recommend Googling because she's super interesting.
And Catherine Hepburn's not doing too badly.
I know, which is very allegedly, because she never admitted to any of it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come
on. See any of it. Those high-waisted trousers, she's not fooling anyone.
So this is something that we both found, and I literally sent it to you and was like, this is the most wild thing.
And I was like, I'm reading this as we speak.
So good. So the late actor Klaus Kinski, is that what you say? Kinski?
I've actually never heard of him, but...
Kinski.
Yeah.
As in Natasha Kinski's father, potentially, or grandfather, who was a famous actress.
Perhaps. Okay. Allegedly. So he described Dietrich's conquest of his girlfriend Edith Edwards in his autobiography writing. Mm-hmm. Marlena tore down Edith's panties backstage in a Berlin theatre and, using just her mouth, brought Edith to orgasm.
Oh! It's like, there's no subtlety there, but also, why are you so amazed by using just her mouth? What have you been doing?
Like, truly, it's possible.
Like, Klaus, are you all right?
Oh, wow.
Also, I'm really hoping that the tearing down of the panties was purely with her mouth as well.
Oh my God, I assume so.
I assume so, it's the only
way. I feel like we all had that image.
So good.
Right, so Marlena versus Greta Garbo is just such... there's so many different accounts of this, right? But the general vibe is that the unofficial allegedly story is that they met in the 20s and definitely had an affair when they were both really young, when one of them was like 19 and the other was like 21.
Yeah.
But that they'd... ended it really horribly, and Greta Garbo, who actually hated being called Greta, apparently.
Oh, really?
Only liked being called Garbo, so, you know, out of respect.
Garbo. Okay, Garbo.
Garbo was so devastated by it that she made Marlena agree, again, this is all very allegedly, I haven't double-checked these sources massively, but we love the tale, made Marlena swear to never, like, mention it ever again, obviously, because that wasn't really a thing at the time. But not only to never mention it, but to pretend that they had never met.
Never met.
The like, idea
sorry
that
to this
these,
woman.
Literally sorry to this woman. Like, so the idea, just as a bit of background for the listeners, like, these were arguably the two, not even arguably, like, the two most globally famous actresses of this period. There was no way in hell that they didn't meet. It's deranged. And they were both like, we've just never ever met.
It's like the equivalent of being like, I don't know,
Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone have never met.
Yeah.
It literally would be like that. It'd be like, don't know her, sorry. Who do you mean? Is she that one from Easy A?
Beyonce and Taylor Swift. Like, we're talking... yeah. There's not even as many actors as there are now. Like, yeah. It's plausible that you haven't met them. But then...
Is it when they finally meet, are they like, oh,
No.
Lovely to meet you.
I'm so desperate for this German accent to
They use. Kept this up until death.
Wait, why? What?
They claimed never ever to have met until
they must have been in the same
Garbo
room.
Died.
Yeah. Of course they were. They're lying, guys.
What about, like, red carpet events?
Yes. They're just like, we just didn't speak to each other. Well, to be fair, Garbo was quite reclusive, so I think she didn't go to quite a lot of that stuff.
Maybe they never spoke. They just fucked. Yeah. Just sewed.
Maybe it's true. Lots of embellishing.
Marlena did a Scandi TV interview in the 70s, and you can... There's footage of this.
We'll put it on the gram.
Yeah, which I've watched. And she says, she never went out. I never went out. How could we have met? and the interviewer's like, so did you meet Garbo? And she's like, no. Straight away, like, really, no, oh, but talks God, about her really mistily, and then it's like, no, of course not.
And honestly, she talks about her with, like, the Oscar-nominated performance of a man talking about his wife that he lost and was so in love with. Like, it's the look of love in her eyes.
And then she's like, no.
Okay, someone needs to make a movie about what went on between those two.
Yeah, it would be such a good film. Maybe this is what I'm researching. But again, it's so allegedly that you'd probably get sued. But then Marlena's daughter hated her, so she probably wouldn't give a shit what you said.
No. Also, like,
but I'm sorry. Like, let's make it up, guys.
But isn't that the case? How can you get sued? Like, now, I mean, you've got like The Crown, you've got Spencer.
I've really been thinking about this because I'd really like to write something about the sewing circle, and I'm just wondering if people would get annoyed.
Everyone's always going to get annoyed.
Yeah. But then you feel mean, don't you? If it's someone's gran and they're like,
well, tough titties. Please, like, tough titties, you homophobe. I'm writing about your gran and her sewing.
If you approach it with respect and love and you do your research as much as you possibly can, then it's fine.
So the other thing about Marlena and Greta is that, like, Garbo never spoke about anybody really because she was so reclusive, but Marlena did. And Marlena was so... This is, like, from the diary of some gossip columnist, so allegedly. But apparently, Marlena was, like, so rude about Garbo all of the time and said loads of horrible things about her, but including that she was, like, really stingy, she, like, hardly had any clothes, and that she always wore her underwear 3 times before she ever washed it, which is such a weird track.
Around saying that to everyone.
Oh, but, and then being like, but we've never met.
Yeah, what the fuck? How do you know that detail?
He's got a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
About someone you've never met.
Oh, I love
about their personal hygiene.
Oh my God.
I love the drama from beyond.
I know, and I feel like there was something found in Marlena's personal effects that was like, a picture that had been a rare pap picture of Garbo when she was much older. And Marlena would put like a post-it on it or something being like, age is cruel. Something like so vicious.
What the she fuck? Was savage. So Marlena,
she's like not a nice lady. Yeah.
Wow. No, but she is kind of like, she gives me similar vibes to Tallulah where you're like, God, you're bloody awful, but you are like doing it for the anecdote, aren't you?
Yeah.
Doing it for the quote, doing it for the anecdote.
Speaking of doing it for the anecdote, should we give her, because she's a bisexual icon, we've done a roster of women. Check out this roster of men.
Oh my God. We've got, amongst the roster, Gary Cooper.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Errol Flynn.
Oh. George Bernard Shaw.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart.
JFK, naturally.
And Frank Sinatra. Don't even worry about it.
Don't know if you know this guy. God.
Frank Sinatra is such a fuckboy.
Oh my God, we have to do Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Oh, Elliot, that was stunning.
So there you go.
What beautiful work.
What a fuck, girl.
Although I will say that obviously this episode is not over because we have to play some games with you.
Yes.
We have to do some Marlena Dietrich games.
Oh my god. Terrifying.
Okay, so we have a cheeky little quiz for you, Elliot.
It's very important because naturally with the nature of this podcast we've just been talking about fuck girl, we obviously have to find out if you are a fuck girl.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to find out what percentage of fuck girl you are.
Okay, everyone's a fuck girl.
Yeah, where are you on the sliding scale of, I don't know, like Marlena to like, I don't know, Christ, Mary, Mother of Christ.
Oh, wow.
Where are we at?
Hey,
where are
we at? That's a complicated one to get into. Yeah.
Have you ever sent a you up text?
No.
Have you ever slid into someone's DMs?
No.
How?
I'm going to be really boring. I knew it.
Have you ever posted a thirst trap?
You must have. I'm sure I've seen you post a thirst
trap. Yeah, probably.
Have you ever claimed you're not like other girls in any capacity?
Of course not.
Number five, have you ever randomly texted a girl you hooked up with more than a year ago?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a band?
No.
Have you ever left a thirsty comment on someone's Instagram post?
No.
Have you ever messaged someone after they posted a thirst trap?
Ooh. Maybe, yeah.
Have you ever ghosted on someone you were dating?
No.
Have you ever complained about being friend-zoned?
No.
Have you ever used the monkey see no evil emoji?
Oh, no. And actually, I have asked somebody that I was dating to stop using it because I hate it so much.
I really appreciate how you spell emoji, by the way, with an A.
I have used it, but only ever with irony.
Yeah. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to a party with one girl and left with another?
I mean, no, but...
Yeah. Yes.
Like you've gone with a friend and then gone home.
Yeah, but yeah. No, not in that way.
Okay. Have you ever pretended to have a fake commitment to get out of a date?
Probably, yeah.
Have you ever dated a friend's ex?
No, but that is very surprising.
I know. Right?
I feel like it's inevitable, but no, yeah. Not yet.
Have you ever dated an ex's ex?
No. Again, inevitable.
Yeah.
Have you ever introduced someone you're dating as a friend?
No.
Have you ever been dating more than two people at once?
No.
Do you have more than one dating app? E.g. Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Raya, Her?
No, not currently, no.
Okay.
But have you ever?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
You get a point for that.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
I told you when you did this with Danny that I can never do this quiz because I'll be so boring. I've literally lied about some of them just to say yeah. Oh, no.
So finally, have you ever sprinkled your hair, pubic or otherwise, in gold dust?
Yeah, I have. And I won't say which. Because I want to seem cooler than I am. Oh,
so you're 30% of fuck girl. One third fuck girl.
I hate that for me. I'm going to up my game.
Yeah.
It's time to start treating people really fucking badly.
Yeah.
That is what this podcast is. We're trying to make it's what more we encourage. Fuck boys and fuck girls.
Yeah, I think so. I think I need to be treating people with less respect.
I think you just need to go around and tell everyone that I don't change my underwear except for every 3 days.
Yeah, I should start doing that. I haven't been doing that.
Well, it's also true. So
definitely
you wouldn't be lying.
Doing that already. Excuse you. I resemble this remark and I hate it.
You resemble it.
You resemble it.
That's a really bad joke that my dad always makes rather than I resent this remark. Yeah, it's shit. I hate it. It was a bad joke. Move me on. Shine, Mary Boy!
Ah, classic. Better goody.
Yeah, we can't let you leave without playing.
Oh, I love this game. Yeah,
Shag
Mother Boy. I'll be really impressed if you've, because we've played this so much on set, I feel.
Yeah.
I'll be impressed if you found ones that I haven't yet answered.
Well, luckily we're going to go through some strong categories here.
Okay, all right.
So, obviously we start with Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Shag, Marry, Void, Queen Luna, Headmistress Dowling, and Rosalind.
Ooh, tricky.
It is tricky.
Queen Luna, Dowling. Okay, so I'd marry Dowling, straight up.
Love.
Yeah.
Naturally.
I'd probably shag Queen Luna.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I mean...
Hot.
Hot. Yeah. And also, Rosalind's kind of bad news.
Yeah.
Who is Rosalind? Oh, yeah.
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 Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shag, marry, avoid. This is the golden Hollywood round.
Oh, lovely.
Marlena Dietrich.
Mm-hmm.
Tallulah Bankhead.
Mm-hmm.
Or Josephine Baker.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's tricky.
They're all chaotic as hell.
Yeah, so chaotic.
They, all to die for.
They really are.
Josephine has so many animals as well, you just remember.
I know, that's what I'm thinking about because...
And my, so many children.
Right, so my instinct is to marry Josephine because I think she's the best one.
Yeah.
But the admin, you know what I mean? And also, like, I'm not super an animal person.
Yeah.
But given the vibe of the time, I reckon we could live apart.
Yes.
And then I'll just hang out with them when I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I marry Josephine. I'm going to shag Tallulah, I think. I'll risk
the old Mar.
I'll risk it for sure and shag Tallulah. Yeah. And sorry, Marlena, but turns out you're quite bin.
Yes, exactly true. Okay, so Kristen Stewart, Sarah Paulson, or Jodie Foster?
Can I just say that this round was called Modern Day Celesbians? Because that's a phrase I learned from you. Celesbians.
Modern Celesbians.
I hate that legacy from me.
KSG, Sarah Paulson, Jodie Foster.
Oh, okay. So I would marry Sarah Paulson because I love her. It's a toss-up, but I would shag Kristen Stewart, I think.
Yeah.
But for no real reason, it's just...
Jodie, though.
Jodie's I know, exactly.
Jodie.
Both for the story as so well would hard. Be so good.
Yeah.
I feel like Jodie, the only reason I would find it hard is because I would get flashbacks of... like, it would just be in my mind.
Hopefully you wouldn't. Yeah.
Hey. Hey. One can only wish for that.
Oh, God. Okay, we move.
So this is the iconic queer characters round.
Okay, great.
So we have Betty Porter.
Bette Porter.
Bette Porter.
Bette Porter.
How queer are you?
Poussey? Poussey Washington.
Poussey Washington.
Oh, from Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bette Porter's from The L Word, in case.
Yeah. I already know one of my answers.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
But I have heard about it from Elliot.
Again, hate this for me.
And finally.
Basic lesbian DM.
Carol.
Carol. No. I thought Bette Porter was going to be an easy marry, but Carol.
Carol.
I know.
Yeah, but think about the husband and...
Yeah, it's complicated,
it's
isn't it?
But it's a happy ending, so...
But then Bette is also, you know...
Complicated.
Pretty complicated, as no one here knows.
clueless.
Okay, so... I'm going to get this wrong regardless, because I actually don't think... I mean, it's a no-lose situation.
Yeah.
But it's Cate Blanchett, so I'm going to have to marry Carol.
Yeah.
Shag Bette Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Poussey. Which, again...
To be fair, though, a nightmare, because... Poussey is in jail. So
she is in prison, and I think that it would be...
A difficult one.
It's a hard commute. You know?
But it would be fit.
I mean, listen, I'm turning nobody down here.
No one here who I would avoid.
Yeah, but I think that is my order.
You have to marry Carol.
And now we have our Fuckboy Podcast staples. Rasputin. Voldemort.
Yeah.
And Casanova.
Ooh. Listen.
And again, you cannot win
think
here.
About this.
You can't win.
You're not shagging or marrying anyone in this round. You just avoid.
Avoid. But that's not the game, Hannah.
No, it's not.
Wait, so who was it? Rasputin, Voldemort, Casanova. Okay.
Oh my God, you are fucked.
Literally by one of them.
Okay. So probably...
Oh, God. I don't know.
God. Who am I going to marry? Okay. Don't can't believe I'm saying this, but.
Voldy.
I'm going to marry Voldemort.
You can't marry the other.
Who the fuck are you going to shag?
I'm going to shag Casanova because people kept coming back for more. It seems like he's probably quite good at it.
Yeah.
You know, if nothing else.
But Rasputin. Famed.
But I can't.
Jesus
not
dick.
The beard, I'm afraid.
Not,
I can't.
Not the teeth.
Not the unwashed vibe.
The goat out. Ode of goats.
Yeah, no, your description, absolutely goat. Not. The lack of cleanliness.
The stumpy teeth.
Oh, no.
The little stumpy teeth.
No, horrifying.
Disgusting.
It's the eyes. I can't believe I opened with the beard when really... the beard just represents all of the things that I've imagined have caught in it.
Yeah.
Lots of vile. But I think that's the only way to go.
I think it is. I think you've made the right decision.
Look, I'm really thrilled for you, and I wish you well on your endeavours with your life with Voldemort.
Honestly, yeah. I don't even need your well wishes because I'm A, evil now, and B, I think I've got this.
See?
Elliot, it has been
good.
A delight to have you on. You absolutely nailed that.
Please come back.
Please come back.
I would love to. Thanks for having me.
I want more of you.
Links for all of our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the Sapphic Sewing Circle to the Spandex Spider-Verse.
Yes. In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy Podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own fuckboy or fuckgirl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We would love to hear from you.
Yes, you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast.
And a special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Peter Parker.
We're coming for you.